Podcast 111, Wiramu Tamihana, Māori Prophet and Visionary. The Gospel reading for today's podcast is Matthew 5, chapters 1, verses 1 to 12. Today, rather than comment on this Gospel passage, the well-known scripture we call the Beatitudes, I'm going to speak about something that aligns more closely with the Old Testament reading from today, Psalm 133. This psalm recognizes the benefits and loveliness of God's people dwelling together in unity. The psalm says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." This was the heart of the vision of Wiramu Tamihana, Māori prophet and visionary, who was local to the Waikato area. Wiramu Tamihana is a Māori Christian that deserves wider recognition for his work for the gospel among both Māori and Pākehā in the Waikato area. He is an example of a Māori Christian who sought to be a peacemaker in very troubled times in the land wars in the Waikato. An embodiment of the verse in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." Wiramu dreamed of a bicultural nation where Māori could be truly respected as tangata whenua, a dream that was never realised in his lifetime and still awaits fulfilment today. He is commemorated in our Anglican Book of Saints on June the 23rd. Wiramu Tamihana was born with the name Tara Pepepe and was the second son of the warrior chief Te Waharoa of Ngāti Hauwa. Ngāti Hauwa had their main settlements near Matamata and Horatiu. Te Waharoa, Wiramu's father, never became a Christian, but he allowed local missionaries to educate his people, and it was through the work of the Reverend Albert and Charlotte Brown that Tara Pepepe was introduced to Christianity. And of course the name of the Browns lives on in this diocese, was with the bishop's office at Charlotte Brown House, reminding us of this heritage. Tara Pepepe proved to be as intelligent as his father, but where Te Waharoa applied his intelligence to the arts of war, Tara Pepepe applied himself to learning to read and write and to understand the Christian scriptures. He became quite fluent in both speaking and writing English in just 12 to 18 months. He then became a lay preacher and a teacher in the local school. In March 1838, receptive to a vision planted by the Reverend Brown, Tara Pepepe and another Māori named Te Ao approached Brown with a list of 200 people willing to become part of a Christian community. The result of this vision was Te Tāpiri, a Christian Māori settlement which lasted from 1838 to 1846. It was a pā, but not a fortified village, and was enclosed by just a picket fence. It included a large Raupo church, 80 feet by 30 feet by 30 feet. Bishop Selwyn donated glass windows for this church in 1843, and this is now commemorated by a memorial stone on the side of the road in the Matamata countryside. By February 1839, this community of faith numbered nearly 400 people. Tara Pepepe drew up a set of rules for the community to live by, suggested to him by Reverend Brown. These were based on the Ten Commandments and were very different from traditional Māori values such as utu and the practice of taking and keeping slaves. About that time, Te Waharoa, Tara Pepepe's father, lay dying. On his deathbed, he made three requests to his son. Firstly, "Forsake the missionaries." "I cannot," his son replied. "Secondly, make war on Ngāti Whakaoe." "I cannot," his son replied. "Thirdly, then always be a friend of the white man." "I will," his son asserted. On 23rd of June 1839, Tara Pipipi was baptised by Brown and took the new name Wirimu Tamihana, or William Thompson in English. About 1846, Tamihana moved his family and the community living at Te Tapiri to a new site. This was called Perea, after the city Berea in the Acts of the Apostles. From 1846 to 1848, Perea grew in size and became the main settlement of Ngāti Hauā. The town included a post office, flour mill, a school, a boarding establishment, a central meeting house and surrounding houses. Every morning at 6 a.m. and in the evening, a bell would call the people to prayer. Like Te Tapiri, it was surrounded not by a palisade and fortifications, but by a picket fence. As a lived embodiment of the Christian community, it was impressive. Both Māori and Pākehā lived together in this settlement as a model of a peaceful, cooperative, and prosperous bicultural society, with biblical values at the centre. Today, the only physical reminder of Perea's existence is a karaka tree that grew in the garden of Tamihana's house, and on the side of the road again there's an engraved memorial stone placed there by the local historical society. Sadly, as the conflict over land escalated, Wirimu's peaceful stance was increasingly seen as a powerless option when it came to resisting the land grabbing going on around the Waikato region. Wirimu saw the Māori King movement as a way forward to negotiating as equals with Pākehā over settlements for land. To this end, he became a strong promoter of the Kingitanga and was given the nickname Kingmaker in the process of choosing the first Māori king, Potatau Te Whereweru. Potatau was crowned on the 2nd of May 1859, and Tamihana was there, holding a Bible over his head as the king was crowned. During the Waikato land wars, Tamihana finally took up arms against the colonial troops. He viewed this as justified and a defence of his own people and lands. After he surrendered his taiaha and mere on 27th of May 1865, he negotiated peace with General Carey at Tamaheri. After that, he returned to Perea. His life's work was in ruins. The settlement was largely deserted. His dream of Māori equality with Pākehā was shattered. His mana was diminished. His people had had their ancestral lands confiscated by the colonial government. The Māori king was a fugitive, and many of his people had deserted Christianity to follow the more aggressively resistant Hauhau religion. Tamihana had also caught tuberculosis, a disease brought to New Zealand by the settlers. He would die from tuberculosis about a year later, in 1866. Sir John Gorse, the Waikato resident magistrate from 1862, said the following about Wirimu Tamihana. Tamihana was a pleasant man to argue with. He heard patiently all you had to say, took the greatest pains to find out exactly what you meant, and replied calmly and always to the point. I've met many statesmen in the course of my long life, but none superior in intellect and character to this Māori chief, who most people would look upon as a savage. The author Evelyn Stokes, who has written an extensive book about Wirimu Tamihana's life, says this: Hurt and disillusioned Tamihana may have been by the events of the 1860s, but at no stage did he deviate from his efforts to make peace. Until his death, Tamihana continued to work for peace and goodwill among all the people of Aotearoa New Zealand. In more recent times, in 2013, the New Zealand Herald, for its 150th year celebrations, named Wirimu Tamihana as one of the top 10 New Zealanders based on his vision for Māori and Pākehā partnership, Māori self-determination and overall peace between the two peoples. Wirimu Tamihana was one of the great Christian pioneers of the Waikato. He stands alongside the missionaries Reverend Albert and Charlotte Brown and other Maori Christians such as Te Rore and her father Ngā Kuku in their quest to bring the gospel to Maori people. This is the heritage we have as Christians in our faith in the Waikato region. We must know our history, the history of this land and of our faith, as we continue in the footsteps of those who have faith who have gone before us. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.